to try and address the grievances of the Gilets Jaunes, the yellow vest protesters. We'll get to those in just a moment. I'm joined here by Lex Paulson from Sciences Po University. Thank you for being with us. And Mark Perlman, our French political affairs editor as well. Mark, I'll start with you. A series of economic measures there. The most important, perhaps, a rise in the minimum wage, something he said he wasn't going to do. And he's just announced an extra €100 a month on the government's charge.
Yeah, starting next year, which is next month, essentially. So this is clearly the main measure, the shock and awe measure he hopes will convince the French and especially the yellow vest to stay home next Saturday. This is clearly something that was unexpected. His labor minister said yesterday that doing so was not positive, that it would kill job creation. And so he clearly went against this. He announced a broader so-called economic and social state of emergency. And he announced this measure, as well as not taxing overtime hours anymore. Also proposing an end-of-year bonus, the proposal that's been bandied around. And also a gesture toward the elderly. He said that an increase in the taxes would not affect those who earn under 2,000 euros. So he's trying to please the workers, especially those with modest or very modest wages through this increase. He's hoping to please the retirees with saying, okay, only the rich one will have higher taxes among the retirees. And also the so-called middle class by saying, if you work overtime, you won't be taxed. However, one of the demands he didn't accept was to cancel his reform of the so-called wealth tax. Mm-hmm. We heard demands to do so. He said, I won't do so because it's not good for the economy. It's not going to do any good. So he made a few important gestures, but on that very symbolic reform he undertook when he arrived in power, he didn't back down. And obviously, he condemned the violence and was clearly on listening mode. He said, we need to have a very big debate. I'm going to talk to mayors. And we really need to think through taxation, immigration, climate change. And I'm in listening mode. And also, he admitted that his words had clearly angered some French, that he didn't go as far as apologizing. And he also said that clearly his government probably tried to do too much too quickly, and that sometimes he was busy with other things, and he may have given the perception that he was not listening enough to the French.
Okay, Mark. Lex Paulson, I'd like to bring you in. Just listening to that, then, a series of economic measures that are clearly designed to help the lowest earners, people earning less than €2,000 a month, a bonus, and all of the things that Mark's just taken us through. What is your initial feeling about this? Do you think it will be enough to appease the yellow vest protesters?
I don't. I was with the Gilets Jaunes on Saturday. And I can tell you from my interactions with them around the Arc de Triomphe and the Champs-Élysées that this is not a question about policy for them. It's not simply a question about the impôt sur la fortune or even the tax sur le carburant. It's a question about the relationship between citizens and government. These are people who feel that they've been talked down to, that they've been excluded, and that they don't trust anymore that the system that claims to represent them will make decisions on their behalf. So simply making different policies is not going to resolve the anger and frustration that exists. That's about Paris. It's about centralization. It's about a ruling class that's been making international deals perceived that help the Parisians at the expense of the countryside. None of the propositions tonight spoke, I don't think, to restoring a relationship of trust. And without the relationship of trust, even the best conceived policies are not going to work.
One of their key demands, though, has been to raise the minimum wage. And then that is something that until very recently, Emmanuel Macron said he simply would not do. So for the second time in as many weeks, he has backed down. And he just seemed to be making a real effort there to kind of change his tone, change the way he speaks to people. Look, you're the only ones I'm fighting for. I care about you. I care about your lives. Mm. He spoke about the single mother. He spoke about people who have to get up early in the morning. You don't think any of that has got through or will have the desired effect?
I actually do think that the tone of the speech was, it's by far its strongest aspect. He spoke more softly. He spoke, I mean, I teach rhetoric at Sciences Po, and and what we teach in rhetoric is how you communicate. The ethos of your speech is just as important as the logos, as the content. And Macron really showed a much more humble tone in the low tone in his voice. He spoke gently. He spoke slowly. He spoke with empathy about the issues in a way that I hadn't heard him articulate before. So I think in that sense, his tone might have won over some of these protesters. But on the content of what he proposed, simply saying we're going to include mayors in this public consultation, I don't think is enough. The Gilets Jaunes don't want to be represented. They want a seat at the table. And I don't think Macron offered them that tonight.
What's your take on it, Mark? Do you think this will get through to the protesters? Because after all, he doesn't have to convince all of the protesters, does he? He has to win public opinion over to his side, doesn't he?
And so he'll clearly win over some of the protesters who are already sitting on the fence. Some were afraid by the violence. They had seen that this was getting out of control. And clearly some of them will say, okay, at least we succeeded. And they succeeded more than any trade union could ever dream of in just a month. I mean, to get the government to raise the minimum wage, to cancel an increase in the tax of fuel. And
the unions could only dream of that, right? They've been trying to do that for years.
In 18 months, they got nothing. Mm. They got shoved aside. So, yes, they can certainly claim, some of them, those who have more political demands, like, you know, we want better. I'm not sure that this is a huge percentage of the yellow vest. The yellow vest essentially want to go home, get back to work, make sure that when they drive to work, they don't pay more for their gas. And when they go to work, they earn a little bit more. So, yes, there is a political dimension to it. But I do think Macron is hoping to win part of them. And Macron is also hoping to win public opinion, that the polls have been his main enemy, even more than the yellow vest. The fact that 3/4 of the French in average support this movement has been his nightmare. And so if public opinion turns around and say, OK, guys, it's fine. You got more than you could have dreamed of. Now go back home. We will not back you to continue protesting, including in violent ways. This is probably the goal Emmanuel Macron is hoping to achieve. It doesn't mean he made it to that, but clearly he made a few proposals that are very concrete in terms of purchasing power, in terms of lower taxes. He's hoping that this will get through, but there's no guarantee, of course, because this movement has already snowballed and it can continue to do so.
And he also did seek to address this geographical disparity that we've talked about in France, the peripheral France, the people in the towns and the villages compared to the people in the big cities, as you were just talking about there. He said we have to address disparities and inequality in the whole country. Do you think he really didn't realise until this point how bad things are for people in these rural areas? Do you think this has been a real wake-up call for him?
Yeah, I was talking with someone, a historian of French politics, who mentioned that up until Macron, every, the tradition of the Cinquième République was that the president had, their base in Paris, but also some part of the French countryside that they could call their own, and that Macron was the first to kind of depart from that tradition. He doesn't present himself as someone with any kind of territory in the province that he really can speak to from his experience, and I think that in a funny way, I think the French, the people who I met at the protest, are very aware that Macron doesn't come from the places they come from, and so as I said again, this is not a policy negotiation. This is a question of the government not understanding what these people are living, and their experience of France is not the experience of the France that is in the power elite in Paris. I don't think that 100 euros of SMIC is going to change their minds about the value of this movement. This movement is not about about specific concessions in policy. It's about standing up for people who feel like they haven't been heard.
So he must resign? He must dissolve Parliament? What can he do?
I think it's a very interesting question. I don't think that the Gilets Jaunes movement has a single demand or a single kind of best-case scenario. I think that there is a spectrum. Some would like more citizen power, and I think those are the most coherent of the actors. Are they a minority? Probably they are a minority. But I think that they are the ones who are also diffusing this kind of constructive program to the other. Some just want to break things and oppose the police. That's true. In between, there's this frustration. And the frustration is not just about a specific government policy. It's about how people feel treated. And until Macron can show people that he respects them, he understands what they're living, making policy concessions won't help.
Okay, well, as we just heard there, Emmanuel Macron has announced a small rise in the minimum wage, which currently stands at around 1,800 euros a month net. People will have an extra 100 euros a month in their pocket. The Gilets Jaunes supporters have been saying that this minimum wage is simply not enough to live on. Marius Sofos has this report on those who are having trouble making ends meet.